Our text verse came from Psalm 85, verse 6, where the Bible says, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" I'm going to speak this morning on the subject, when does a Christian need revival? Many Christians think that they don't need revival until they fall into deep sin. Fact is, deep sin comes at the end of the line. We need a revival in our lives a long time before we get into deep sin. And by the way, let me just tell you, there's no such thing as deep sin with God. Sin is sin. I mean, there's no deep sin, shallow sin, no bad sin, good sin. We try to categorize it to explain away our behavior, but God doesn't. He just says, "Be ye holy. Be ye holy." And so I want to encourage each person to listen this morning. If any of the things I talk about this morning are true in your life, then you need revival. If they're true in my life, I need revival. And we need it now, and we need to pray like the psalmist, "Wilt thou not revive us again?" Now, before I get to my message, let me say this, and I want you to listen. You can't revive something that's never been vived. Amen? You can't revive something that's never been vived. You can't renew life where there's never been life. That word, that prefix re means again. The word vive means life. So I can't have life again until I have life the first time. And the only way to get life is to come to that one Brother Gary sang about this morning, whose hands were scarred at Calvary, who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." And so if you're here this morning and you have never come to Jesus Christ, the rest of the message is not for you because it doesn't apply. God can't revive you until he vives you the first time. And the only way he can vive you is for you to come to Jesus Christ and receive him as your Savior. You see, the Bible says we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I may be able to find a man that's a worse sinner than I am, but the Bible says don't compare yourself to other men. You compare yourselves to the glory of God. You compare yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when any person compares themselves to the Lord Jesus Christ, they cannot help but say, "I am a sinner. I've fallen short of God's glory." We're all sinners. That's what this book says. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all fallen short of the perfection that Jesus lived before us when he was here on this earth. The Bible says there's a penalty for that, a wage that we owe. And the penalty that we owe is death. Not spiritual death. We talked about it in Sunday school. Not physical death, but the kind of death we talked about in Sunday school this morning. Spiritual death. Like when Adam and Eve sinned and they were cast out of the Garden of Eden. They were separated from their Creator. They died spiritually. That's the wage of sin. That's what every sinner owes, to be separated from a holy, righteous God. We could do nothing to pay for that. We can't be good enough. We can't pay enough money. Can't join a church. Can't get baptized. Can't take communion. There's nothing that we can do to overcome our sin. And what we couldn't do, God did for us. He sent his perfect, sinless Son to live among men for 30-some years. And then God allowed mankind to take Jesus and nail him to a cross. And when Jesus hung on that cross, God took every one of my sins. He took every one of your sins. He laid them on his Son. And in an act of substitution, Jesus Christ died for every one of our sins. Our sins are paid for. Hey, your sins are paid for this morning. Even the ones you're going to commit tomorrow and the ones you're going to commit next week, they've already been paid for. They're all under the blood of Jesus Christ that he shed on Calvary. And so if you're here this morning and you've never come to life, you've never come to Jesus, what you have to do is admit you're a sinner, believe that Jesus' blood and his substitutionary death for you was sufficient, and come to him. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And if you'll come to Jesus Christ this morning, say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I know I deserve to be separated from my Creator God, but I believe that you died for my sin, and right now I'm claiming the gift that you purchased for me on Calvary, the payment for my sins. I need a Savior. You're the only one that will work. Please save me. And he'll do that. Whosoever shall come to him, he'll no wise cast out. And so this morning, if you've never gotten life from the source of life, I invite you to come to Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, the majority of us here this morning are Christians. There comes a time in every one of our lives where we need revival. Every Christian, one times or another, comes to that point where God needs to revive life in our Christian life. And again, when we need revival, it's like any disease. The sooner that we catch it, the easier it is to fix it. Doctors and nurses will tell you, hey, look for these signs for cancer and look for these signs of heart disease, because the earlier you can treat what's going on in your body, the better success rate that they have. The same way when it comes to revival. When we recognize what's going on in our life is not pleasing to God and is not fostering the growth that he wants us to have in our life, we need revival. And so I'm going to mention, I think I have seven things this morning. Only six, so you're lucky. You'll get out a little bit earlier. I got six things. Already you're looking at the clock. Don't look at the clock. You know what happens when you look at the clock? The pastor says, well, I must have to go a little bit longer. They're looking at the clock. But I have six things I want to mention this morning under the topic, when does a Christian need revival? So buckle up, listen, here we go. We need revival when we begin to neglect the Word of God. We ought to be faithful to this book. Again, get a King James Bible. Don't get the other ones that people have added things to or taken things away from. Get a King James Bible and you be faithful to this book. Every day you ought to read from this book. Every day you ought to study from this book. Every day you ought to meditate from this book. Every day you ought to memorize some of this book. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Every one of us eat every day. We wouldn't look the way we do unless we did. I'll say amen to that if nobody else will. I wouldn't look the way I look unless I ate every day. I eat every day, and I eat well every day. Since I've gotten married, I've eaten better every day than I used to eat, and now none of my clothes will fit. So, but what happens when we don't eat? What happens when we don't eat? Here's what happens when we don't eat. If you go many days without eating, you get weak. You get lifeless. All you feel like doing is sitting around and doing nothing with your feet propped up. And the same thing happens when we neglect this book. When we don't get the spiritual nourishment that we need from the Word of God. He said, we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And that's what this is. Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. When we don't get the spiritual nourishment we need, we get listless. All we want to do is sit around. All we want to do is just, you know, stay in our homes. And that, unfortunately, describes a lot of Christians. We don't want to do nothing because we're too weak, because we haven't feasted on the Word of God. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I'm not supposed to study this book to be a theologian. I mean, theologians are good in their place. But I'm supposed to study this book, and you're supposed to study this book so that we can be workmen. so that we can go to work for Jesus, so that we can do what he's called us to do, what he's left us to do, what he's commissioned us to do. And I need to stay in this book in order to get the strength, in order to get the wisdom, in order to get the motivation, in order to get everything that I need to get. I get it from this book to go out and work for God. He's called us to be a workman, and he's given us this book to help us do that. We sang that little chorus, the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me, and yet many of us don't spend time every day in it. If it's the book for us, we need to spend time in it every day. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E Bible. We need revival when we begin to neglect this book. How's your Bible reading? You don't need to answer me. You need to answer to God. How's your Bible reading? Do you have a set time every day that you spend in this book? Do you have a time in the day where you just pick it up when you're just sitting there and you open the pages and you read a little bit and you think about it and you meditate on it and you ask God to use it to prepare you to face the rest of the day? How's your Bible reading? We need revival when we begin to neglect the Word of God. Number two, we need revival when we stop praying on a regular basis. Luke chapter 18, verse 1, men ought always to pray and not to faint. If we faint in our prayer life, it won't be long before we faint in other areas of our Christian walk. Some people don't pray because they don't believe that we have a prayer-hearing, prayer-answering God. We don't pray because we don't believe God hears prayer. We don't believe God answers prayer. If we did, we would pray. It says in the book of James, James 4, 2, ye have not because ye ask not. Let me ask you this morning, are you everything that you want to be for God? Have you arrived? Can you say, hey, I've arrived at the exact point that I want to be in my Christian life? Most of us would say, like the Apostle Paul, I haven't arrived yet. I haven't attained yet. I haven't gotten there yet. Then why aren't you spending time in prayer? Why aren't you spending time down on your knees asking God to revive you, to get you to that point where he wants you to be? None of us this morning, if we were honest, say, I'm exactly where I want to be in my Christian walk. You need to pray. I need to pray. We need to pray every day. We don't because we don't believe God hears and God answers. Some don't pray because they don't love Jesus like they used to. How many of you have ever had a long-distance courtship? Okay, Carol, who else? Long-distance courtship. I had a long-distance courtship. You know, in a long-distance courtship, communication is important. When I was going to college, I got a letter every day from my sweetheart. Every day. Every day. I wish I could say I was as faithful in writing back to her as she was to writing to me, but I wasn't. One time she found out that in the dorm, that if you got 10 letters in one day, they'd throw you in the shower. She wanted to make sure they all got there at the same time, so I got 15. But communication in a long-distance relationship is important. If you don't hear from that person that's separated from you, you begin to wonder, do they still love me? Do they still care for me? Are they even thinking about me? Oh, but wait a minute. Communication is important if you're together in your relationship. I mean, if you live in the same house and don't talk to one another, if you sleep in the bed and don't talk to one another and communicate, pretty soon those same thoughts are going to creep into your mind. Does he or she still love me? Do they still care? Are they still thinking about me? That's why husbands and wives need to talk to one another. Amen. I should be able to get more than one amen for that. You're the brave one, Brother Ferris. Husbands and wives ought to talk to one another, and they ought to communicate. They ought to share what's on their hearts. They ought to share their feelings. They ought to share their fears. I mean, that's what God intended marriage to be. And if we don't talk to one another, what happens to our relationship? It's not as strong as it should be. Well, how do you think our relationship is with God if we don't talk to him? Huh? And by the way, if you're not talking to him, if you're not praying, if you're not talking to him, you're probably not listening as he talks to you. The two go together. If you're in that book, you're in prayer. And if you're not in the book and not in prayer, I mean, it just goes together. So I'll ask you this morning, how's your prayer life? Does God know you still love him? Does God know you still care? Have you told him lately? You say, God doesn't need me to know. God doesn't need me to tell him that I love him. He knows that. Well, God knows everything. But he wants us to pray. He wants us to tell him. I know some of you men told your wives when you got married, I love you, and if it ever changes, I'll let you know. And you haven't said it since your wedding day. Shame, shame, shame. You shouldn't be looking at your husband now. That's a telltale sign. Shame, shame, shame on you. How's your prayer life? How's your Bible reading? We need, if we're beginning to neglect the Bible, if we're beginning to neglect our prayer life, we need revival. We sing the song, Sweet Hour of Prayer, Sweet Hour of Prayer, that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. Seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, Sweet Hour of Prayer. When does a Christian need revival? When we begin to neglect this book. When we stop praying on a regular basis. Number three, we need revival when church attendance becomes unimportant. We ought to feel guilty and we ought to feel pain every time we miss a service. Every time. Sunday morning, Sunday night, and I know I'm preaching to the Sunday morning crowd, so I know I'm going to offend somebody when I say this. This is more of a Sunday night message than it is a Sunday morning message, but I've been reminded lately that sometimes I need to offend the Sunday morning crowd just like I offend the Sunday night crowd. So I'm going to offend you this morning. You ought to feel pain and regret every service that you miss. Thomas decided to skip the first Sunday night service. The disciples and others were gathered in the upper room. The door was locked. Jesus had been crucified. There had been reports from some in their midst that he was alive. And so they gathered that first Sunday night, the first Easter Sunday. Sunday night, they gathered in that upper room. Thomas decided he had something better to do. I don't know what he did. The Bible doesn't say, but the Bible says that he wasn't there. Jesus appeared in the midst. He appeared to his disciples, those others that were gathered in that room. And he dispelled their doubts. He said, I'm really alive. I've really come back from the dead, just like I told you I would. Thomas wasn't there. And the others told him, said, Thomas, man, you should have been here Sunday night. The Lord came. He said, well, I'm not going to believe that he's alive until I can put my fingers in the prints of the nails from his hands and put my hand into his side. And we know the story. Jesus appeared again and said, Thomas, come on, put your fingers in, put your hand in my side, believe. I'm going to say something. I want you to listen. The service that you need the most is the service that Satan is going to work his hardest, to keep you away from. Amen. The service that you need the most is the service that Satan is going to work his hardest to keep you away from. In Hebrews 10:25, the Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. You see, you need to be here. I need to be here so that we can stir one another up. Amen. Tonight I'm going to talk about stir up the grace of God that's in you. And it sort of goes along with this message. But we need to be here so that we can stir each other up. I don't want you to be here just to hear the sermon. I mean, I don't want you to be here just to hear the singing. I don't want you to be here just for the fellowship. All those things are good. But you need to be here so the Holy Spirit of God can get a hold of you and stir you up. Pastor went to visit one of his members that hadn't been to church for a while, It was a cold fall day, and he came to the farmhouse and knocked on the door, and his member sort of looked at him and knew what was coming, said, oh, didn't say a word, just opened the door, motioned him to sit down in a chair by the fireplace. And so they sat there for a minute, neither one of them saying anything, and then the pastor took the poker, and he reached into the fireplace where there were some coals that were glowing, and he took one of the coals and moved it off on the side. Put the poker back. Pretty soon, because that coal was by itself, it sort of died. The fire that was in it went out. Then the pastor took the poker and he moved that coal back to the pile of other ones. And when it got back with the pile of other ones, it reignited and got hot again. Put the poker back. He got up from the chair and said, see you in church Sunday? And the guy that hadn't been there for a week says, yes, pastor, I'll be there. See, that's what happens. You stay away from this place, your fire goes out. You say, well, I can worship God anywhere I want. Yeah, I know you can worship God. You can worship him in the woods. You can worship him at home watching TV. I know you can worship God in different places. But you don't get stirred up. You don't get stirred up in the woods. You don't get stirred up in front of the TV. You get stirred up when you come together with God's people. Amen. In God's church. And we need revival when church attendance becomes unimportant. Number four, and here's what I told you I was going to preach to you about a minute ago. We need revival when we begin to have a critical or negative spirit. The tongue problems always reveal heart problems. Matthew 15, 18. But those things which proceed out of the mouth cometh forth from the heart, and they defile the man. What you say says a lot about your heart. And I was teasing you because I like to be critical of people that don't kiss very well either. I like to make them do it again, Brother Walt. You weren't the first ones. You won't be the last ones that have to do it again. I'm not talking about that kind of criticism, but I'm talking about criticism that goes after a person. Whether it's me or the song leader or the musicians or the soloists or those that sing or the Sunday school teachers or the custodians. I mean, if the only thing that you have to say is critical, if the only thing that you have to say is to tear somebody down, you need revival in your life. Amen. If you're listening to gossip, if you're repeating gossip, you need revival. When you have nothing good to say about anybody else, when you have nothing good to say about what's going on at the church, when you have nothing good to say at all, you need revival. In Philippians 2:15, the Bible says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Now, again, I remind you that we as Christians should not wear our feelings on our sleeve. It ought to be hard to offend us. I tell people all the time, you got to work hard to offend me. You do. I mean, you got to work really hard. I'm not going to get offended easily. The book of Psalm 119, 165 says, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I haven't gotten there yet, but I'm working on it. And again, we need revival when we begin to have a critical or negative spirit. You got to hurry. Number five, we need revival when we quit giving. One of the most fundamental principles of Christianity is giving. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. People in the book of Acts expressed their Christianity by giving. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Giving is a gauge of our spiritual condition. Giving is the natural way, a natural way that we have to express our love to Christ and to his church. When we lose the desire to give, we need revival. And then number six, when does a Christian need revival? We need revival when we lose the burden for the salvation of others. In Romans 10, chapter 1, Paul wrote, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Paul said, as a Jew, my heart's desire is that my fellow Jews would come to Jesus Christ. He said in Romans 9:3, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Paul wept over his people. He wanted his people to come to his Savior. I mean, he was a Jew. He came out of the works religion. He came to a religion that was based on faith and grace and the things that Jesus did for him. And he said, I want my people to come to that Savior. Jesus wept over Jerusalem. Jeremiah wept so much they called him the weeping prophet. In Psalm 126, verse 6, the Bible says, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seeds, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. So let me ask you this morning, when's the last time that you physically wept over somebody that was unsaved on their way to hell? Again, I don't want you to answer me. I want you to answer yourself. And I want you to answer God. When's the last time you physically shed tears for somebody that you knew was on the way to hell? They had no hope apart from Christ. They had no hope apart from what God did through Jesus on Calvary. And they're going to go to hell. They're going to go to hell forever. It's not they're going to go there for a while and God's going to let them out. They're going to be there forever in the pit of hell, in the fire of hell. When's the last time you shed a tear, wept for somebody that was on their way to hell? If it's been a while, then we need revival. We need revival. So again, I ask you this morning, how's your Bible time? How's your prayer time? How's your church attendance? How's your spirit? Have you lost a desire to give? Are you cold toward others that don't know Christ? If any of those are true, then you need revival. I need revival. Don't wait for it to get worse. The longer it goes, the harder it is to fix. We need revival now. So how do we get it? How do we get it? Well, how'd you get life the first time? How'd you get vibed? You came to Christ. You came to Jesus. How do you get revived? You come back to him. Spells it out in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, Christians, that's us, shall humble themselves. Let me put it in the context of the Sunday school lesson. That means taking yourself off the throne of your life and putting God back on it. Saying, I can't run my life. I don't want to run my life. God, I want you to run it. Humble ourselves and pray. If you don't think you need God, you don't pray. The only people that pray are those that know they need God. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Again, people that don't think they need God, they don't seek the face of God. But people that know they need God, they're seeking his face all the time. And turn from their wicked ways, sin, disobedience, doing things that God says not to do or not doing things that he says that he wants you to do. And by the way, it's a sin thinking that you know better than God what's good for you. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then here's the promise that God makes. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I'll revive them. I'll revive them. How'd you get life the first time? You came to Christ. How do you get revived? You come back to him again. We sing that little chorus in Sunday school. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, I love him more and more. Jesus saves. He saved me, and he keeps me. He's the one I'm waiting for. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. That's the way it ought to be. It ought to be. We need revival. We need revival. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the warning signs that you put in our life that we're not as close to you as we should be. Revival doesn't start with the sinner. It starts with the saint. It starts with us. Each of us as an individual. I pray you'd help us look at our lives this morning. We'd look at these things that we've talked about. We'd ask the question, do we need revival? And Father, I pray you'd help the answer come back in a resounding yes to all of us. Yes, my child, you need revival. You need life to be stirred up again. I pray that we would submit ourselves to you for that, Father. I pray every Christian here would pray like the psalmist, wilt not thou revive us again, because we need it. And then, Father, I pray for that handful that may be here this morning that's never received Christ. Help them to see the only way they can have life is to come to Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. They can't get it any other place. Not of works, lest any man should boast, but come unto him. And I pray if there's those here this morning that don't know him, that they'll come. During this time of invitation, we can show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. Bless this time. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Help us to be obedient. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.